Hi, this is Winners Chapel International, New York. Thank you for downloading our podcast. We hope this inspires you, builds your faith, and motivates you. Please make sure you subscribe to get new messages every week. Enjoy the message.
This is the first Sunday in the month of August, and it's a prophetic service. The Bible says, by a prophet, God led Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet, Israel was also preserved. I decree in the name of Jesus, in this prophetic service, God will lead you, and God will also preserve you, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The month is the month of destiny. He says, I am a child of destiny. And our focus for the month in our teaching on Sundays is captioned, Understanding How God Leads. The two are related. You have a glorious destiny, but you must know how to get there. And that is all we are looking at this month. This month is a very crucial month. Now, after salvation, one of the things that are very crucial is destiny. To know exactly the plan and the purpose of God for your life. But knowing it alone is not enough. You must also know how to get there. You may know that you are destined for something or for somewhere or for some places, but you must know how to get there. That's why this month is very, very important. If you get it right this month, life will be very, very easy. Now, when you know where you are going, it is 50%. Now, knowing how to get there is the other 50%. So it's very, very important. This month is very, very important. You will both know where you are going. It's a matter of destiny. And you will also know how to get there. So pay attention. And I pray in the name of Jesus, God will open your eyes to show you the plan and the purpose he has for you in life. In the name of Jesus. You will not do the wrong job. You will not do the wrong business. You will not go into the wrong ministry. You will not marry the wrong person. Life can be frustrating if you go the wrong way. Life can be so for. Imagine you are going to the south and you are driving 100 miles an hour to the north. How fast will you get there? You are moving far away from where you are going to. And that is why I know in the name of Jesus, this month the Lord will guide you. The Lord will direct you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Now, our destiny has no ceiling. There are no ceilings on our destiny as believers. So imagine if you have received divine direction and you know exactly what God has for you. That's not the limit. Life is in phases. Men are in sizes. Once you accomplish one, another one is open for you. So this is not your rest. Don't relax. You need to know what plan God has for you. What next God has for you. In Proverbs 4:18, it says, the path of a just is like a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. And every child of God possesses a greater potential in redemption. So where you are right now is not the best. God is still taking you further. Say with me, God is taking me further. Jesus speaking, relating this to about John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. He said, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. What he was saying is anyone that is born again, that is redeemed, has a greater destiny than John the Baptist. And moreover, John the Baptist has a greater destiny than all the Old Testament saints. So what the scripture is saying is that any redeemed child of God has no limited destiny. Your destiny can be greater than that of Elijah, greater than that of Moses, greater than that of Joseph, greater than that of Gideon, greater than all of them put together, because there is no limit. And that is why we must be very conscious of that fact. Before Jesus left, in John chapter 14, verse 12, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, however, greater works shall he do. Praise the Lord. So he removed the limit. If Jesus stopped at saying, the work that I do, you will do. That's, he has placed limitation. Now, hear this. For leaders in the house and for leaders hearing my voice. Now, you are not a success when you leave a position or a place and they cannot continue, or nobody can match where you left. That's not a success. I used to think that way before. That, oh, when I leave a place, nobody should be able to do what I was doing so that they will be calling me or like that. That was before I came into ministry. So don't begin to look, oh, maybe that was, in, no. Before I even came to ministry, that was my mentality. That I would do this job. And it was a right intention. It was a good motive that I want to put my best. That before you catch up with me, you will sweat. But the mistake, the error I made is like I always want to do it that nobody will even be able to catch up with me. But that's not a right motive. A successful leader is a leader that served and also duplicates himself or herself in several others. And I'm beginning to see that in this church right now. Praise the Lord. I'm beginning to see that even in this church, there are so many of our leaders here who, by reason of taking responsibility, they are very independent. They can do almost everything. Praise God. So life is becoming very easy. Amen. You make life very easy. You put a system in place. You put a structure in place. Praise the Lord. And that is where I see God taking each and every one of us to. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So Jesus did not put limitation. He said, greater works you will do. Praise God. Greater works. Greater works. So when I leave this church by God's grace, there will be more greater works to be done. Praise the Lord. You are not saying amen. You are afraid whether I will leave. I just saw that the amen was going down gradually. Praise God. You know, the path of a just is like a shining light that shines more and more. Amen. Praise the Lord. Greater works. Say with me, greater works. However, we need to be divinely guided. Divine direction is key fulfillment of our destiny in life. Divine direction. No matter how fast you are going on the wrong lane, you can never get to your destination. Divine direction. So we must recognize our need of divine guidance. And God is also willing to guide us. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 verse 12 and chapter 16 verse 25, there is a way which seems right to man, the end thereof at the way of death. That it seems right does not make it right. Now, they say if he walks like a duck and quack like a duck, then it's possibly a duck, but not in this context. For the fact that he walks like a duck or quack like a duck, it doesn't make it a duck. So, for the fact that the way it seems right or it looks right, doesn't make it right. That's why you must always consult God. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Right from the beginning, he knew the end. Praise God. No other person can take that position except the one God chose. Praise God. So he's willing to guide us. God told the servant Bishop Oedipo in 1983 October. He said, I am committed to leading you if you are committed to following me. When you follow the one who knows the way, you will never miss your way. When God is leading, no gate of hell can stop you. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, I decree, no gate of hell will stop you. Now, having said that, divine direction is key to fulfilling destiny. I'm sure the next question in somebody's heart is, how can I be guided? How can I know when God is leading me? I mean, this is a very, very serious question. How do you know? God is leading, but how do you know when God is leading? We take four quick points in this second service. Number one, for you to be guided, for you to access divine guidance, you must be born again. You must be born again. Being born again is being born into the kingdom. Being a member of the kingdom. Until you become a member of a kingdom, you cannot understand the language of the kingdom. Now, there is a language in this commission. There is the way we speak in this commission. When you meet someone who is not a member of this commission, if you speak for 5 minutes, you will know that he's not a member. Right? Because there are some things that you expect to hear. There are certain things you don't expect to hear. When you meet somebody and he says, and you say, oh, how are you doing? Oh, praise the Lord. God is good. Bless you. Oh, you are blessed. God bless you. You already know he understands the language. But you meet somebody, say, how are you doing? Oh, bad man. It's bad, bad, bad man. Everything is just upside down. I don't know. This country is just falling. It's just crashing. Everything you see. You already know this one is far away from it. He doesn't understand the language. He doesn't speak the language. So the same way, when you are born again, you will be able to understand the language of heaven. So you speak the language of heaven and you also hear the language of heaven. The same way children don't struggle to understand the native language of the parent if they speak it at home. Not in this modern world that that everybody decided not to speak their language. Even in Africa now, they are already copying. People in Africa, they don't speak language again. Everybody speaking English. They don't understand. That's disaster to me. Praise the Lord. That's disaster. Everybody needs to understand his native language. Praise God. It was an error some of us made unknowingly just by being westernized and modernized. And some might be saying, well, what's the big deal about it? Okay, you will know. Praise God. So the same way, you must understand the language of heaven so that you can hear God and God can hear you. And it is only when you are born into the kingdom. If you are not born again, you cannot hear the language of heaven. You cannot hear God. God cannot lead you because you are not born into that language. You have not learned that language. And in another perspective, if you are not born again, you are dead spiritually. And communication with God is spiritual. It's not physical. It's the realm of a spirit. So if you are not born again, you are dead spiritually. So a dead man cannot hear, cannot speak. So when, you are saying something to the dead cannot hear. So the same way, even if God is trying to speak to you, you can't hear because you are not born again. That's why if you want to hear God, this morning before this service is over, you should give your life to Christ and God will be speaking to you. Praise the Lord. In John chapter 1 verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. To them that believes on his name. And number two, to access divine guidance, you must be baptized with the Holy Spirit. When you are born again, the next thing you want to do as a child of God is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, when Jesus Christ was to leave the disciples, when Jesus Christ was on the earth, he was speaking to the disciples. They were talking one-on-one. But when he was to leave, he said, I will not leave you without a guide. I will not leave you without a teacher. I will not leave you without someone that will be communicating with you regularly. I will send the Holy Spirit. So now we have the Holy Spirit. As children of God, if you want to hear God, you must have relationship with the Holy Spirit. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, 1 John 2, 27, the Bible says, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and often is as I taught you, ye shall abide in him. Talking about the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit will be your teacher, it will be your guide when you have him. Without the Holy Spirit, it's like driving to an unknown destination without GPS. You know how difficult it can be. The Holy Spirit is our spiritual navigation. It will guide you. I remember years back when I first came to America, I was discussing this with my family yesterday while we were sharing at the WSF. Then when we came, there was nothing like apps. Nothing like navigation. Then navigation was still very new. That was when the GPS came out that you have to buy the device. Anybody remember Nuvi? Aha, Garmin. All of those ones. Now, what was primary then for navigation is MapQuest. Anybody know MapQuest here? Yeah? Okay. And MapQuest, you have to print it out. You know, some of the new generation are just looking, what's this man saying? What is MapQuest? And I'm talking about this contemporary America. MapQuest. It's either you know how to read physical map or you know how to use MapQuest. MapQuest is a lazy man's way for those who don't understand geography. So I have the two. Geography, the map, you buy map from 7-Eleven. So you map it, you put pen, you know at 25 miles, you go south, and you make a right, you can write it down or map it on your map, or you print MapQuest. Now, you don't know map, you don't know MapQuest, then you are stranded, and you don't know the road. Now, you don't know the road, you don't know map, you depend on MapQuest, you miss your exit. The same thing. Because once you miss your exit on MapQuest, there is no rerouting. This one, nothing is going to reroute you because you don't have access to it again. You have printed it on your printer before you left the house and you assume it will take you there, but you miss one exit. I have to stop by the roadside because I didn't understand the United States geography. So when I miss my MapQuest, I have to stop, stay by the roadside and be stopping vehicle. And to make it worse, oh, no, no, you go, just make five miles and just go on the ramp. They confuse me the more. Praise God. Until I see somebody that could really guide me. So without the Holy Ghost, life is frustrating. Life is stranded. That is why I know this morning, anyone under the sound of my voice that is not baptized in the Holy Spirit, in this service you shall be baptized. In the name of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8 verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So you see, the Spirit communicates with our spirit. So when you are filled with the Holy Spirit will be speaking to you through your spirit. And number three, remember I said be born again. Number two, be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Number three, be clothed with meekness. Be clothed with meekness. Psalm 25 verse 9, the meek will he guide in judgment and the meek will he teach his way. If you are not meek, God cannot guide you. The Bible says God resists the proud and gives more grace to the humble. When you are not meek, you are far away from God. You are far away from God. So you have to humble yourself before God, before he can lead you. Moses was very meek, and Moses was very great. What that means, he fulfilled his glorious destiny because of his meekness. You can see that in Exodus 11:3, he was very great. But in Numbers 12:3, he was very meek. Was very meek. James chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. He giveth more grace. Wherefore, he said, God resisted the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. If God is resisting you, it means he's pushing you away. So there's no way he can lead you. I pray in the name of Jesus, someone here will be filled with the spirit of humility. Now, what is meekness? Meekness means to be teachable. To be teachable. That you don't claim to know all and you are not willing to learn. The meek are the teachables, those that can be instructed. You don't know what you don't know until you know what others know, says Charlie Jones. You think you know everything, wait until you hear somebody speak on the same subject. Then if you are meek, you'll be able to pick. Praise the Lord. Don't be an instructor that cannot be instructed. And the manifestation of pride is in lack of hunger for knowledge. Don't think you have arrived. Seek to learn. When you are no longer hungry to be taught, you are proud. Now, what is meekness? Meekness also means to be correctable or amendable. We all make mistakes. When you make mistakes and you are corrected, celebrate it with joy. Don't pick offense. When you naturally something in you will resist. So, in case something resists in you, don't think, oh, that is the end of your meekness. No, it's just a temptation to be proud. But if that thing resists, you know, you still have the power to overcome. Praise the Lord. To be correctable and amendable. God's servant said, no matter how far you have gone doing what is wrong, what do you do? Do what is right And that is what God says. Do what God says. Because one wrong step can ruin a whole destiny. So you must humble yourself to be able to hear God. A great man of God, Pastor E. Adeboye, he said God took him to, he went to the beach. And God asked him to draw the figure of a man on the sand by the shore. And he drew it, and God said he should erase it. And you know it's very easy on the shore. Erase it. And God said, you see how easy for you? If you become proud, that's how it's very easy for me to erase you. And you can see the humility. You can see the humility. So for God to lead anyone, you must be humble. And what is humility or meekness? To be under authority. You must submit yourself to authority. If there's no authority greater than you, you are in danger. Submit to authority. I said in the first service, if you don't have anyone who can be your guide, who you can reference, when you are going in error and somebody says, leave him, let's talk to this person. And he will correct himself. If there's no such person in your life, you are going the way of destruction. There should be at least somebody in your life that you should respect to the point that if you are going the wrong way, if everybody is telling you are going the wrong way, they can say, well, leave him. Let's call this person. Once we talk to this person, it will change. If there is no such person in your life, even if God speaks, you will not listen. There should be somebody, whether your husband or your wife or your parents or your pastor or your boss or your friend, there should be somebody in your life. That's a symbol of humility. Don't say, well, nobody can talk to me. When you say nobody can talk to me, it means even God, when God talks to you, you will not listen. That's a manifestation of pride. And pride goes before what? I decree in the name of Jesus, someone here will not be destroyed. In the name of Jesus Christ. There was a testimony of an individual that wanted to travel years back. And God's servant told him, don't go on that journey. He saw something in the spirit. He said, no, but I promised the person that I will come. He said, but God, tell the person again that you can't make it. He said, but I already told the person. He said, is your word immutable? Can't you change your word? He now said, okay. God's servant knew this individual does not have his car of his own. He said, okay, whose car are you driving? He said, the car of so person. So he called the person, don't release your car. He still went and lobbied. He went, he didn't return. He didn't return. No trace of him at all. Car completely gone. Life completely gone. He saw something in the spirit. Because he can't humble himself to hear the word of the prophet that God has placed over him. So God was the one speaking to him, but because of pride and arrogance, he couldn't hear the voice of God. I pray in the name of Jesus, someone here under the sound of my voice will not be destroyed with pride and arrogance. In the name of Jesus. Finally, number four, to hear the voice of God, you need to be able to hear the voice of the Spirit. Now, God may not speak directly to you physically. You may not hear external voice, but you'll be able to hear the voice of the Spirit from within. Now, someone might be expecting God speaking, my son, look to the right. The only time you hear this voice is during the drama, when the youth alive are casting a play. That's when you hear this kind of voice. My son. And you shake. Who is talking? I am your father. Now, you may not hear that kind of voice again. It's very rare. Now, God still speaks like that. Don't misunderstand me, but it's very, very rare. Now, the most predominant way that you hear the voice of God now is the voice of the Spirit. And most especially, he will speak through your own spirit, inner witness. So you must be able to decode, decipher how you can hear the voice of the Spirit. In the Old Testament, they either hear the voice of the prophet or they cast lots That's why if God wants to speak to them, he will send a prophet. If they can't see a prophet, they will go and cast lots because they don't have the Holy Spirit within them. Now, that was the trend the disciples were trying to follow when Jesus left them. Remember, Jesus warned them. He said, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. But they didn't follow that instruction. The first thing, they gathered themselves, they prayed a little bit, and they said, let's replace Judas Iscariot. So what did they do? They cast lots. And the lot fell on somebody we never had his name. I believe if they have waited, Paul the apostle was supposed to replace Judas Iscariot, and it was so obvious. But they cast lots. Now, when the Holy Spirit came in chapter 13, they never needed to cast lot again. They started hearing God. Even beginning from verse 2, they started hearing God. But in chapter 13, they were praying and they heard the voice of the Spirit. Let's read that scripture. Acts of the Apostles chapter 13, verse 2. Let's go straight to verse 2. Acts chapter 13 and verse 2. He said, the Holy Spirit spake to them that they should separate unto him Barnabas and Saul. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. The Holy Ghost said. So if you have been casting lots, you are limiting yourself from hearing the voice of God. That's why you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit so as to be able to hear the voice of the Spirit. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. So the Spirit is speaking. And this is so practical. I share this in the first service. Every time I hear the voice of God, I write it down. Especially the time I hear him more is the time I stay with him in fellowship, in prayer. When I pray, my own prayer with God is fellowshipping with God. It's either I'm praying kingdom advancement prayers, or I am just fellowshipping with God in prayer. Praise God. And when I fellowship with God in prayer or pray kingdom advancement prayer, I get myself set to hear him. So I have a book titled The Voice. So I write the date and the time I'm starting the prayer. And so when I hear the voice of the Spirit, I write it down and I also write the time. That's how God leads. That's how we hear the voice. But you need to have fellowship with him. The deeper your fellowship with him, the higher your level of interaction with him. And your interaction with him determines how you hear him. Praise the Lord. If you don't have deeper fellowship with him, then you can't really hear him often. So you have to build your fellowship with him. Just like in an organization, when you have the CEO of the organization, he may not have anything to do with the cleaner of the organization. Maybe once a while. He's just passing through, he just say hello or whatever. But with the chief financial officer, they are almost meeting every day. With the chief information officer or chief operating officer, they are almost meeting every day. Why? Because of the level. The levels are so close. So when you are far away from the Holy Spirit, you can't hear him. A CEO may never talk to messenger the whole year. You know, he doesn't really have any business with him. The messenger may be communicating with the head of a cleaning department or whatever like that. That may be his own level of communication. So if you don't go deeper with the Holy Spirit, you may not go deeper in communication with him. That's why you take your Christianity very, very seriously. You need to stop all this Christianity of activism and politics and, you know, just going everywhere and be very serious with God, because it's all about life. Praise the Lord. I pray from today someone will be hearing clearly the voice of the Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, when God speaks, how do you know that is the voice of God? Because there are many voices. Satan, we always want to also mimic the voice of God. So, say for instance, you have two options and something within you is telling you that pick this option. How do you know that something telling you is God? Because we all have conscience, right? We also have the Spirit of God. Then we also have the voice of God. The voice of God will speak through our spirit to us. Because the Spirit communicates through spirit. It's just like when you are making phone call. Now, it's your voice. but it's going through your cell phone, right? So if I'm speaking through cell phone to Pastor Jude, Pastor Jude is speaking with Pastor, but you're actually speaking with cell phone. It's my cell phone that is talking to you. Praise God, right? But it's me. It's my voice you are hearing through the cell phone. So your spirit is hearing the voice of God, and your spirit is interpreting it to you. That's why your spirit must be in line with the voice of God. And your conscience is like the SIM card in that your cell phone. So everything works together. So if your conscience is telling you that do something, it's most likely it's your spirit. Now, it's most likely it's the voice of God if everything sync, if everything is in line. But if your SIM card expires, which means your conscience is dead, then you cannot even hear. When God is speaking to you, to be as if you don't even care. Shout hallelujah. You know, there are some countries, some SIM card can expire. If you get a SIM card from Cameroon and you you refuse to use it for 2 years, they will deactivate it. True of us. Even if it is from Ghana or Liberia, you get it, or Nigeria. I have one Nigerian phone there. From time to time, I charge it. I recharge it. I just call so that they know this line is still active. So don't go into sin. Sin will make your conscience to be dead. And when your conscience is dead, your cell phone cannot work. And when your cell phone cannot work, there will not be communication. So when your conscience is dead, your spirit is not going to work. When your spirit is not working, you cannot hear from God. Praise the Lord. By decreeing the name of Jesus from today, you'll be hearing from God. So quickly, how do you know that it's God speaking? Number one, you will have peace. You will have peace. Now, say for instance, I want to choose between this flower and the other one on this side, and I don't know which one to actually pick. And I've prayed, and something is telling me, that's the voice of God, is that something, telling my spirit, and my conscience is clear that this is the flower. How do I know? If I go close to this flower to pick it, and I'm really afraid, and I'm perspiring, then there is no peace, which means it is not. But if I move towards that, and I want to pick it, and everything just look cool and calm, and I just have peace, that's the voice of God. That's an indication God is there. Anywhere there is no peace, God is not there. So the proof that is the voice of God you have had is the peace. You will have peace within. The best way I can explain this is like someone who has been in a very hot weather and now just enter the place, there is AC. Everything just looks very cool. And now they even supply you with cold water. You just relax yourself with cold water. That's the kind of peace you have. That is God. So you want to say, for instance, you want to engage to someone. This brother has been disturbing you. And each time you meet this brother, you don't really have peace. I mean, you are always perspiring. You have to pray more. Praise the Lord. Say, for instance, you want to pick between two jobs. And even though one is very high in salary, the other one is very low in salary or benefit, and your mind is unclear, is unsettled, you are just disturbed, you are just agitated and concerned, that's a sign that that's not God. But you want to, and as you move close to the smaller one, you just have peace, you have comfort, that's a sign of God. Do you get it right now? I pray in the name of Jesus from today, you always hear the voice of God, and you always confirm it with peace in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In Psalm 85 and verse 8, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Praise the Lord. Number two, proofs of being led by the Spirit. And remember, all throughout this month, we'll be showing you more proofs. That's why all throughout this month, don't miss any of the services. We'll be showing you more proofs. Now, liberty of the Spirit. Liberty of the Spirit. Acts chapter 20, verse 22 to 23. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bands and afflictions abide me. Now, that was Apostle Paul. The Spirit was bound. That means the Spirit did not release him. So one way to know if God is leading, if your spirit is not releasing you, It's very close to having peace too. You are just disturbed in your spirit. You don't just understand the way you feel within the spirit. It's like you don't have a, you have a kind of check in your spirit that is saying, this thing should not be done. Because where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. From today, I decree you will not take the wrong step again. You will not make the wrong decision again. In the name of Jesus, from today, God will continue to lead you. All throughout this month, God will lead you to your place of blessings. Please rise with me to your feet this morning. Lift up your voice and let's appreciate the Lord. Let's give Him praise. Let's give Him glory. Celebrate Him. Magnify Him. Father, we thank You. Lord, we give You praise. Lord, we celebrate You. Blessed and blessed be Your name. Thank You, mighty Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Remember where we started from. If you are not born again, God cannot lead you. Because when God is speaking, you cannot even hear. Please take your seat. You are here this morning in this sanctuary or connected online and you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior for you to be able to hear Him. I would like for you to say this prayer after me. Say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to You today. I know I have sinned and come short of Your glory. Forgive me all of my sins and wash me with Your precious blood. From today, I will serve You and follow You all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you for listening to Winners Chapel International New York's podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and share the link with your friends and family. Visit us online at www.winnerschapelny.org and fellowship with us online on our YouTube channel, Winners Chapel International, New York. Have a blessed week. God loves you. See you next time.